This podcast was recorded Thursday, June 6th at 11:10 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like synthetic urine might be illegal in Ohio.
Synthetic urine?
Yeah, lawmakers want to make sure people don't make fake pee to cheat on drug tests.
I don't know what they'll think of next. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly tribute, I guess you could say, to the shrewd men and women who make and enforce public policy in the State House and beyond. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, the Speaker of the Ohio House takes on drag queens.
But first, he's been to Ohio before, but not as a 2020 candidate for President of the United States.
Joe Biden was in Columbus a few days ago. He spoke at a Human Rights Campaign fundraising dinner. The Human Rights Campaign, of course, is an LGBTQ civil rights organization.
We've already had five, just this year, five black transgender women killed violently in 2019. It's outrageous. It must end. And the fastest way to end it is end the Trump administration.
There's some red meat for you. Biden reminded the crowd that he came out in favor of same-sex marriage even before his old boss, President Obama, did.
And Biden said if elected, the Equality Act would be his top legislative priority. That measure would ban discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity at the federal level.
Biden's visit comes as polls show him leading the 23 other Democrats running for president. But polls also show Democrats, especially younger ones and more liberal Democrats, they kind of lack enthusiasm for him.
WOSU's reporter Nick Evans was at the Biden event, and he joins us now. Nick, welcome back to Snollygoster.
Thanks for having me.
So Biden has taken hits for his smaller crowd sizes so far early in the campaign, perhaps a lack of enthusiasm, some of us said. What kind of vibe did you get at the event last Saturday? What kind of reception did he get?
It was warm. People were happy to see him. The response was, generally speaking, very positive. The crowd, you know, it was you know, all ages, all genders or sexual identities were represented. You know, the outfits were fabulous. It was absolutely wonderful to be there, and it seemed like he more or less got a pretty positive response from the crowd, especially, you know, when he led off talking about how he was out ahead on voicing support for equality in marriage.
Warm, generally positive, good feelings. Is that enough to generate enthusiasm to win the nomination for president?
Well, I will tell you that the HRC is focused primarily on beating Trump. First, last, always, right? That is their primary intent here. So I heard representatives from the organization voicing support for Biden, but just generally speaking, voicing support for any candidate who will give them the best shot of toppling Donald Trump come 2020.
So was that his main message? What was the context? What was the component of his address? Was it more about LGBTQ rights? Was it more about we need to get rid of Donald Trump? What was the ratio there?
So I think that the big focus of his speech was that the Trump administration has sort of sullied the country's reputation when it comes to civil rights, when it comes to acceptance of the LGBT community, and that has implications not just here at home and for the people in that room, but sort of for our standing on the world stage and our standing as a moral force. And so he was calling for, you know, basically, you know, put me in charge and I will push for the Equality Act. And you know, he did say, you know, that's probably the sort of thing that anybody on the Democratic side of the ticket would be calling for.
He did make some news by saying it would be his top legislative priority. That's a pretty bold statement to make about an issue that's very important to some, but it's not healthcare, it's not education. It only affects a smaller percentage of the population. There's also a gay man running for president, Pete Buttigieg. Did you get the feeling that Biden is the choice among the LGBTQ rights activists? I know it's hard to gauge, right, because he was the only candidate in the room, but did he seem to be their top pick?
No. I think that, again, he got a warm reception. Mm-hmm. They seem to like what he was talking about. They have a lot of fond memories for the way that Biden came out forcefully in support of the LGBTQ community. But I think primarily, more than anything else, the people in that room, they want to see somebody defeat Donald Trump. If it ends up being Biden, I think that they will gladly, you know, go into that polling booth and poll for him. But if it's Buttigieg instead, if it's Elizabeth Warren instead, if it's Kamala Harris instead, they will, I'm sure, gladly vote for that candidate instead.
You know, it's interesting. He was in Ohio the same time that I think there were 13 or 14 other
right.
candidates in California at that state's Democratic convention. You know, on one hand, he had all of the spotlight to himself here in Ohio. He was in front of a friendly crowd, a crowd that will support him if he is the nominee. Not sharing the spotlight with all the other candidates in California. Also not having to answer questions like, is socialism good? Which the candidates in California had to answer. And I don't think Biden's answer would have gotten a warm reception there.
Right. Sort of a having your cake and eating it too sort of a political proposition for him. He's widely been seen as the candidate who's most likely to win the quote, working class white voter vote. And so while everybody is in California, he's in Ohio. He has also, you know, been sort of seen as maybe not the candidate for the progressive left wing of the party. But here he is speaking in front of an LGBTQ audience. So in a way, I think he's trying to sort of play both sides of this a little bit. And you know,
it's pretty
frankly,
smart.
Pretty good politics on his part.
Yeah,
it's pretty early for Ohio to be getting attention from the leading candidate like Joe Biden.
Right.
Typically, and you know, in earlier elections, we'd see them really frequenting places like Iowa and New Hampshire. That has happened, but as we said, Joe Biden was in Ohio as other candidates were in California, and this is a newer development, a newer strategy.
Right, right. I think that part of that is probably that the way in which media works now. Anything that any of these top level candidates do is going to make the rounds regardless. I think also a lot of the candidates were in California because I believe their primary has been moved up mm-hmm. quite a bit too. But yeah, you know, there probably will be a pretty forceful emphasis on states like Ohio, states like Pennsylvania, states like Michigan that either were Democratic strongholds or were, you know, places where Democrats could win in past years where they didn't.
Those are states where a guy who really fancies himself as to be a middle-class, working-class kind of guy, like Joe Biden, could potentially steal a lot of Donald Trump votes. So it makes it makes sense for him to be in those states early.
They will not make the mistake that whoever is the nominee is not going to make the mistake that Hillary Clinton did, not visit Wisconsin for 6 months before
right.
the election.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick's right. People in Iowa watch TV. They're watching MSNBC, CNN, Fox News even. And they're seeing these candidates. Still, though, they will get on the ground in Iowa, in New Hampshire, in the certainly in the 6 months leading up to those to organize and get
Absolutely.
Their vote out. But
yeah.
It is interesting to see that places like Texas are getting presidential visits this early in the campaign, and that never would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Did quote Uncle Joe rear his head at all? Did he have any gaffes, or did he say anything silly?
No.
Did he rub anyone's shoulders? Did he rub anyone's shoulders?
There were plenty of hugs.
Hugs?
The woman who spoke after him, you know, he had left the stage, and mm-hmm. he made a point of walking her back out, you know, on his arm. But you know, there wasn't anything that you saw that was obviously untoward,
yeah.
or any statements that were like
overly
what
familiar.
Are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean he's. How did he look? I mean, if he's elected, he would be 78. He's 76 now. Did he look young and vibrant and full of energy?
He's got a nice tan.
Yeah.
Very young looking, I think.
He certainly looks spry.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, our current president is pretty old himself. I think that making that judgment it's probably a little early for that. I think that people will probably the age question will probably be like a last element disqualifier for most voters. You know, they're going to make their first cuts based on things like, you know, policy. Would I like to have a beer with this person sort
yeah.
of questions. And then when they get down to the last two or three, then the question of age might come in.
Well, you see the other Democrats, like Pete Buttigieg, said we don't want to go back to the policies of the 90s and the 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily – it's pointing out his age in a backhanded way, but it's also saying – it's time for, to quote John Kennedy, time for a new generation, time to pass the torch to the younger generation of Democrats, whether it be Pete Buttigieg, who would be 39 when he's inaugurated.
Quite young.
to Kamala Harris, who would be 56, more in line right. with the norm.
And so. I think that is a that is a trend that is playing out with the Democratic Party in states and in Congress, where there is this concern about, does it sap the enthusiasm yeah. of the younger wing that is coming up behind them?
Yeah. And how do you balance that with name recognition? Joe Biden, he's been around for years,
right.
but because of that, everyone knows who he is.
You know, he's helping that right now is Nancy Pelosi. What is she, 79 years old? She's in her late 70s, I know.
Right.
And she's a force to be reckoned with. She's really rehabilitated her image among Democrats anyway. She's up there as well.
Mm-hmm. WOSU's Nick Evans covered the Joe Biden address to the Human Rights Campaign last weekend. Nick, thanks for joining Snollygoster.
Thanks, Nick.
Anytime.
We'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Snollygoster. House Speaker Larry Householder has made news this year by his willingness to work with Democrats and even endorse some more progressive views, like not pursuing anti-labor union legislation.
But there is a limit to his bipartisanship. And if there was any doubt that the speaker is a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, he removed that when he decided to elevate the controversy over allowing LGBTQ functions in public libraries.
If you haven't heard, two libraries in Central Ohio plan to host gay pride events this month. The Delaware Library was to host an hour-long class on the performance art of drag. The Licking County Library was to hold a pride event that included an optional makeup tutorial.
And both of these events were targeted toward teens. The Delaware Library resisted calls to cancel the Drag 101 event, at least initially, but organizers moved it after they say they received threats. And it was held this week at a comic book store near the Delaware Library.
When Householder heard of these events, he said originally he thought it was a joke, but then he wrote a full-page letter to the Ohio Library Council calling the events a bizarre breach of the public trust. After Householder shared that letter on social media, the Licking County Library canceled its event.
Householder never specifically said why he's opposed to teaching kids about the art of drag. When pressed about this letter this week, he gave this very short comment to State House reporters.
What I said is what I said, and that's it.
What he said is what he said, Mike. That's what he had to say when he was pressed by State House reporters.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he firmly believes what he believes, and I just don't know why he picked this fight. It just didn't seem like that big a deal. There was 200 people showed mm-hmm. up in Delaware yesterday for the alternate event, and they wouldn't have gotten 200 people for that event. It wouldn't have gotten nearly the publicity had Larry Householder not written this letter. So, yeah, he flexes his conservative muscles, but it's a fight that he didn't need to fight.
The Ohio Library Council clapped back on him. They said, we have to allow events like this to take place.
Where's the line for libraries? I don't know where the line is. I mean, libraries are a place of discussion. You should have alternate views there of all kinds. So, I mean, obviously, I don't think you could host a hate rally at a library. That certainly wouldn't be allowed, but, you know.
No, advocates of this say there's nothing sexual about the art of drag. They liken it to dance. Selena West, who hosted this event, she spoke with WOSU's Claire Roth, and that's exactly what Selena said, that it's dance. It's performance art. There's nothing salacious about it.
And to say you can't hold your event here is, in essence, discriminating against the LGBTQ community.
That's exactly what the Library Council said.
You know, Delaware moved it. They say it was because of threats. You know, take them at their word on that. Licking County just canceled it. Of course, the library funding's in front of the State House right now. It's state budget time. I kind of doubt they would cut funding because of this.
And Licking County is a more conservative area, and it's much closer to Perry County, which is Larry Householder's home turf. So probably no coincidence there that they were a little more eager to coalesce behind Larry Householder.
Just seems like a fight that we didn't need to have fought, but whatever. Let's move on to our Snollygoster of the Week. It's our weekly award for the shrewdest politician or political move.
And for that, we traveled across the pond. President Trump remains in Europe. As we record this podcast, he is in France to honor the 75th anniversary of D-Day. But that trip began with a state visit to London, and the Brits were ready for him.
Thousands, tens of thousands, possibly even hundreds of thousands are expected to gather here today. They're not against America. They are against the president and the official visit here to the UK.
Hordes of protesters gathered in London to greet President Trump. Their props included the Trump baby. That's a huge helium balloon of a plump, small-handed, big-haired Donald Trump wearing a diaper.
That's kind of old news, though. That's rookie stuff. The Brits upped their game for this visit, though. Protesters projected a giant picture of a USS John McCain battleship baseball cap on Madame Tussauds.
That's, of course, a dig at President Trump insisting that the signage on the USS McCain be hidden.
Or somebody from the White House.
The White House insisting the signage be hidden when he visited there. They projected Trump and Barack Obama's approval ratings on the Tower of London as well. Also a big difference there. At Trafalgar Square, there was a custom-made statue of Trump sitting on a golden commode tweeting from his phone. And when he was interviewed, the creator said that they wanted to portray what Trump actually does all day, according to his words, which is sit on a toilet and tweet nastily.
So, creative British protesters, outdid yourself. You earn our Snollygoster of the Week award.
As someone who covers protesters on a weekly basis, probably, I'm jealous of the Brits. Not to back their political stand at all, but this is some creative stuff.
I always like creative things and creative
as long as it's
protests.
Not the hey hey ho ho oh. Like that's got it that yeah. that chant has got to go that's
yes.
What's got to go.
That's right. I didn't hear that. They probably did say it over there, but the attention went to those nice balloons and but Donald Trump, he says he never saw them. So
he also referred to small protests.
Yes,
which I don't think they were small, but
they weren't hundreds of thousands. I think that first guy was a little bit overestimating the crowds, but there were certainly thousands.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
If you have a suggestion for next week's Snollygoster of the Week, you can email that to snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.